Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 179th edition of New Mainers Speak. Today, my guest is Enrico Della Petra. He was originally from Naples, Italy, where he taught history and philosophy for 20 years, while also coaching at professional level for soccer and basketball. He fell in love, married a Mainer in Italy, and together they moved to her home state of Maine in 2015. They currently live in the Biddeford area, and he teaches Italian at the Language Exchange in Portland and coaches soccer too. So welcome to New Mainers Speak, Enrico.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. A beautiful spring day in the studio.
Oh, sure.
I'd like to start back in Italy, if you would. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about your parents and what they always wanted for you. What did they believe in and think was important?
Oh, sure. So I have my mother is still alive. My father died in 2007 at age 87. And I have an older sister and a younger brother. And my family, it was very important as the home, the concept of home. So where you learn everything. And every time you have some problem, there is some of them next to you. For sure. Even if I am far now, they are still close to me and they help me.
And have your brother and sister remained in your home area?
Yeah, they still live in Naples, mm-hmm. Actually pretty close to my mother. And yes, and today is a Mother's Day and yeah. They're there.
They're covering for you.
Yeah. I call them actually.
Nice. Did your parents travel a lot?
In the past, yes. They traveled in Europe, sometimes by car, sometimes too. It was a pretty adventure, during the 60s. But it happened many, many years ago. Now my mother is 82 almost. She's retired and she lives her life in a big city, actually. Naples is as big as Boston, so.
Well, that's a good comparison.
Oh, yeah, sure. Even if the European cities are very different, actually, for some reason, for old people, it's not so hard living in a big city. They are smaller and not so expensive, actually.
Yes, yeah, a lot of shared resources.
Oh, yeah, sure, for sure, absolutely.
So when you were a kid and traveling by car, you must have all needed to have all the passports in the glove compartment.
Yeah, in the past, we were stuck in, for example, crossing the border with France. And sometimes for more than an hour, it was the Cold War period. And even if we were close as a country, but the control was very big. Today is great to know that in the European community we are free in traveling. We have the same rights to work, to live in another country. We are closer than the past, for sure. It's hard to explain, but it's something very deep, feeling very close to French people, German people, while for almost all our history, we fought each other, against each other. So be brother now in Europe is a great, great challenge and great goal we achieve mostly.
Yes, for sure. Admirable. Sharing money and open boundaries, freedom to move about.
Yeah, if I compare my generation with the young generation, the way where we live, our relationship with our neighbors is completely different. The idea that you can live everywhere, you can share the same currency, you have the same rights in working, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely. It's a dream that is coming through, for sure. It's still hard. We have to fight for it. It's not completed. The process is not completed. It probably will never happen. But it's a big challenge. Absolutely.
Yeah, it really seems to be kind of engineering of the heart or of people. It's a change, a structural change, but it's really the change is inside us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I think about my father. My father fought in the Second World War against the British. And today, a British guy is my brother, we are a part of the same community. It's in a matter of 70 years, everything changed. Probably sometimes we underestimate the importance of this, but it changed completely the perspective, how Europe changed completely. And today I can say I'm Italian, but I'm mostly European.
Ah, that's sure. really interesting. So you identify to your,
yeah,
your continent to, more than your country.
Even if I belong to the generation that, you know, it grew up in the Cold War, where East Europe didn't exist for us. You know, it was something separated from us. We have to find out after the fall of Berlin Wall that there were other Europeans like us. And I am able to compare, you know, my past life with what I live today. It's a beautiful lesson. I mean, I cannot describe. There is probably no word about it.
Well, it's a bit of freedom, isn't it? To transcend borders and fly over, and birds don't know when they're over
Absolutely.
Hungary or Germany.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you cross a border easily in a couple of hours, going to Germany, for example, you see people speak other languages, they have other religions, and you still feel connected to them. It's great. I mean, I don't think there is nothing else in the world, probably, maybe. Also, in the United States, it's a country by its own identity, you know. It was created by a revolution, and they make this country united, the Civil War. It's still struggling, but anyway, it's a community of Americans. In Europe, it's you know, we kill each other for centuries, and the idea now we can live together is... It's unbelievable.
Yes, it's quite thrilling, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we've chosen that. It's a behavior that we've chosen together, all of us, not just one group. Everybody's agreeing on this.
Yeah, because, you know, after the Second World War, we understood that it was a bad way to live in this.
You're more powerful together.
Yeah, absolutely, well, absolutely.
Cool. So as a boy growing up in the Cold War in Naples, were you growing up on city streets, or were you in a house? Were you in an apartment? What was your living situation like?
Well, we live in an apartment, but our life was mostly on the street. And it was a strange period. You know, I was a little, and I didn't really understood what's going on in the world at the time. But in Naples, we had one of the hugest American base. It was the headquarters of the Navy, and we still have a lot of Americans over there. We live with this idea to be protected, you know, by America. And actually the Iron Curtain was just right there because Italy had the border with Yugoslavia. So sometimes people think about just the Berlin Wall, but the wall was all around Europe from the south to the north. And it was a strange... I mean, we were not conscious at the time, but we became conscious after. When the communism disappeared and we really understood that we live in a kind of fake world, a surreal world. You know, when you follow some values, but it was mostly based on propaganda, and we never understood what's, you know, also our book in a school, in high school, were built to create an idea about the Western world. Like the other side of the world, it did not exist. So it's now we smile, you know, in thinking about this. But it was a big tragedy at the time. A lot of people suffered for sure, on the both sides.
Yes,
there was a less freedom than today, for sure.
We're limited mostly by our creativity.
Yeah. So we have to be creative, you know.
Yeah. What would you like to see over the next 20 years, what would make the world more free and less limited?
But, you know, today we talk about globalization, you know, that is it's a broad concept. But it means also something, you know, that it's strange to try. We are so connected thanks to the social media, the technology. But we are also scared about this, you know. That's the reason we talk about barrier again, you know. We talk about the idea to limitate the immigration, for example, is a big problem in Italy today. That it seems that we are going toward one direction, but because we live in fear about this new thing, we try to create some barriers around us, you know, a comfort zone that can be slowed down this process. I don't like this idea. I imagine I don't have kids, but if I will have some kids someday, I imagine them in a world that can travel without any kind of problem, without to be controlled, like you are, I don't know, a terrorist all the time you go to the airport.
Yeah. So it's a paradox, isn't it? We all need to belong somewhere, and yet we're all one, and that creates areas of comfort, as you say.
Yeah, yeah.
Boundaries.
It's all based on fear, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, nobody tell us. Because I understand that the people are disoriented, but we need, you know, a big debate at global level with the people that are good to do this to explain us what about the future, you know. You know, I studied philosophy. And philosophy, what the philosopher did at the time, you know, in the past?
Eat grapes.
Yeah. Or at least something a little bit harder, you know, trying to interpret the reality around them and trying to explain to the people, you know, writing a book, or today you can talk in the radio. And try to explain to the people how the world works, you know, why we are here on this earth, what the sense of our life, the deep sense of our life. You know, when I went to the high school and I started studying philosophy, it was the third year in high school. I guess it is the 10th grade in America. I didn't really understand why I have to study this stuff. You know, it's useless for me. But actually, it was a big challenge, and I understood the importance of this when I was an adult, because it allowed me to interpret it in my personal view, of course, the life, you know, in general, you know, that we have
the meaning of life.
The meaning of life, thank mm-hmm. you. That's the meaning of life.
And did you figure it out?
No, it's always an open. It's an open. Well, it was an open question for the philosopher, you know.
Yes.
It's a speculation, the endless speculation, you know, because we can try to find an answer today for today or for the next week. But we don't know about the future, you know, and that's make life beautiful, for sure, because we don't know the future, and we have to challenge for it, and, you know, you can get bored for this, you know.
Mm-hmm. It invites everyone to be creative, because we're just making it up as we go along.
Exactly, and it's important to live with other people, too, because, you know, I had the Catholic education, of course, you know, we are so close to the Vatican. But I always hear from people, listen, say, you know, we are social animals. So it means that we can be alone for a while, but we need to live with the others. We have to find out the way to live with the others in peace, of course. I know that the conflict is a part of our life. I accept this, but the real challenge of the life is to make this conflict, you know, low, or at least to avoid as much as we can, even if sometimes it's not possible to do it. And the personal experience of my parents taught me that even if you don't want, sometimes you can be involved in a war, because both of my parents were involved as a war. My father was a soldier. He fought in El Alamein in Egypt, and he spent 2 years as a prisoner of war in India under the British. But he was not a fascist, my father. He was a young guy. Someone called him to join the army. He didn't want to do it, but there was no chance. My mother was a victim, was a civil victim. He was eight, nine years old during the Second World War, and she has to escape from the Germans, from the soldiers, you know. And they never talk a lot about this, you know, about this their experience, because I will never understand. I can understand this, you know, if you don't believe it. But their behavior, you know, the way they educated me, I understood that I learned what they lived. Because they gave me the opportunity to live my youth, because they never had this possibility.
They've set you up to be a philosopher.
My father, mostly.
Yeah.
My father. They had a kind of same background, a similar background.
Yeah.
He had a couple of degrees, one in law and one in... it was a humanistic discipline, so similar path that I follow in my life. But he never asked me to do this. I just follow his example.
We turn out like our parents if we're not trying.
Yeah.
Right? You can maybe change a couple things, but mostly we turn out like our parents.
For sure. You know, I know that Woody Allen said in the past that when we go to the bed, we live with our parents. We share with the bed with our parents.
Nice. Perfect. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Enrico Della Pietra. Enrico studied philosophy and has found that all the disciplines are interconnected when he looks at life with a wider angle lens in the big picture. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about your background in philosophy and how that's relevant to your life today?
Well, you know, as I said before, at the beginning, I didn't really understand very well. Also because, you know, if you read a philosophy text, it's not easy. I mean, you have to understand the concept reading 4 or 5 pages, and then sometimes you have to come back and read it again. But actually, it's fascinating for me because it really helped me to understand many, many aspects of the life, you know, to open your mind. Try to see the things in different perspectives, in different angles. And I try to apply this kind of my background in when I work, when I interact with people. Of course, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect like everybody. But I have to say that sometimes I found some answer when I read some philosopher. It was fun, for example, Schopenhauer, Arthur Schopenhauer, a German philosopher, that he wrote a book about women. The relationship between men and women, it was written almost 200 years ago, but it's so actual. It's still like the men and women, you know, create a relationship with each other. I can talk about friendship, partnership, mother and son. You know, we are so different, but we always try to interact with each other. You know, it's the human nature. It seems strange that, I seem surprised that a philosopher wrote something like this, but he wrote something like we usually live every day, you know? It's not an abstract concept. It's something that we really live every day. Absolutely.
And as a coach, having coached professional soccer and basketball, have you ended up using your philosophy in that arena as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's not the sport, like a lot of our activities, are made by people, and it works when you interact with the people at the best as you can. Yes, probably unconsciously, but most of the time, my approach with athletes, in this case, with the players, it was mostly based on the human relationship. Because a successful season is based not what you not only on what you teach, but the environment that you create. You know, the athletes can have a successful career not just because they are paid very well, but because they win when they work in an environment that give them a lot of motivation, and this environment is created by a coach. So. The philosophy helped me a lot to understand it. I had a big example from the volleyball coach. He was Argentinian that led the Italian national team during the 90s. He won 3 World Cup in a row. He was graduated as a. He took the bachelor degree in philosophy in Argentina, and his approach with the sport, it was a philosophical approach actually. He won so much. Because he built the relationship with the players was pretty unique. Absolutely.
I think we could use a lot more of that in our culture. I'm glad you're bringing it.
Yeah, you know, Italy is a young country, but is also ancient civilization. And our connection with ancient Greek, of course, because what I talk so far about philosophy is something we learned by the great Greek civilization. And Naples was built by Greek, so this heritage, you know, it's among us all the time, and I'm happy to have the chance to study humanistic disciplines, because it helped me a lot to wake up in the morning and try to do something during the day, you know.
Yes, and making sense of the world.
Make sense of our life.
And you were just saying that, you know, this is so ideal, this idea that you live on the soil that's been cultivated for you by ancient Greek philosophers, and you have an ideal, we all have an ideal view of Italy. I'm curious what you find when you talk to people and they, what their concept of Italy is and how that meets with your understanding of your country.
Oh, yes. You know, Italy is one of the most visited places. We are full of tourists. And of course, there is this idea that Italy is beautiful, the great food, monuments. Yeah, of course, it's true. It's part of our life. But there is much, much more about Italy. Italy is a complicated country, because this discrepancy between we are a young nation. It's only 166-67 years old as a nation. So we are younger than the United States. But actually, the Italians are Italians since the Roman Empire. You know, when we talk about Michelangelo, we talk about Bernini, Caravaggio, Christopher Columbus, we consider them Italians, but there was no Italy as a nation at that time. So I'd like to suggest people that they really want to know my country to try to interact more with Italians. Because when you go to Rome, Florence, Venice, it seems to be in an open-air museum. That is a kind of fake place, you know, for some reason, you know, especially Venice, for example. But if you have a chance to talk with Italians and go deeply with them, you can really understand Italian culture. This is much, much more than just the touristic face, you know. And I understand that sometimes people don't have a time, of course, but I see some people coming back to Italy many, many times. And it's the way, you know, you visit the Colosseum the first time, the second time something else. But the third time, try to understand, because our style of life is pretty unique, I have to say. You know, I travel a lot around the world, but the Italian style of life, I don't want to say this is the best, but it's pretty unique. You know,
what?
It's pretty unique.
Oh, pretty unique.
Unique, yes.
Huh.
I mean, we live on the street, you know, we share our free time in the square, outdoor. But it's not just a matter of the weather that help us to live, but it's the way where we live in our social life, you know. Drinking a glass of wine is not just drinking alcohol. It means sharing time with some person. It's an excuse. You know, there's an expression in my town that say, let's go to drink a coffee. Maybe you don't want to drink a coffee, but it's 15, 20 minutes to share something together and to know each other better.
It's about connecting.
Connected. The coffee is just an expression to say, you know, let's go take a coffee. You don't want to drink a coffee at 8 o'clock p.m., of course. It's too late. But it's an excuse to stay together for 20 minutes and know each other better. You know?
Sure. And as in any country, we've got the face we put out there to the world and then the other things that are going on, you know.
Yeah.
I think people often think of the United States in terms of the movies. And then they get here and they're really surprised that, you know, those fancy cars aren't flying down the road all the time. Or
yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yes,
you know, stepping back on the Cold War, you know, we had the idea that America was close to the Western European countries, a matter of culture. And actually, it was a big surprise for me when I came here as a tourist. I did understand, you know, it was 1998, the first time in America. But now that I live here, I understand that the difference are huge.
What do you see?
Now, today?
Yes.
But first of all, this country is based on individualism, while, for example, Italy is completely opposite. This big difference created different social relationship. It was the most difficult that I had here when I came here, because I constantly look for people, you know, in sharing time with them. But it seems that everybody has to rush somewhere, and you have to schedule an appointment with someone just to have a dinner together. That's pretty strange for me. I feel like it's less spontaneous. I don't want to criticize, of course. It's just a different way to live. But it was really hard for me to find, you know, to create a new social life, because my way to approach the people is completely different, of course. And this is one of the biggest differences that I found when I came here, absolutely. And then the cultural differences are completely different. So in the country, it's totally different.
Yes.
You know, the fake imagination that I had when I was during the Cold War, it was a kind of propaganda to keep us united against the evil on the other side of Iron Curtain. But for many, many reasons, of course, that we are so different from Europe, you know. And probably today we live this big difference, probably, much more than the past. We don't have any excuses, you know, the Cold War.
No, yeah. We don't. We're reinventing ourselves over and over again.
Absolutely.
So I'm seeing that we're coming to the end of our time, which surprises me. It goes so quickly sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Rico, you are delightfully honest. And while that may not be politically correct in many circles, I think it is refreshing. We stand to learn a lot from you. And if we can open our eyes to what you see, and that you're willing to share with us, we'll all benefit from that. Best wishes to you as you get ever more established here in Maine and find friends that will just grab a coffee with you.
No, it's happening. Anyway, it's happening.
Good. Thank you for being my guest today.
I'm not alone, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song Enrico has selected for us. Can you tell us about why you chose this song to wrap things up, Enrico?
Yeah, the song is a Bruce Springsteen song, The Promise. And actually, to say there are two things that I really like. The urban environment of the Bruce Springsteen song, that, you know, they are usually anonymous place. That can be here, it can be in California, in Italy, it's the same, it doesn't matter. On the other side, this song is petty melancholic, but it means that the life is a long journey. You can fail sometimes. You feel isolated. But there is always a hope. You know, that's the promise. A hope to do something else, to restart again, start over again.
I love it. And of course, we're all connected by music because you've been to 17 Bruce Springsteen concerts, and I think of him as pure in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So we're all connected through your music. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
The promise was broken. I kissed it.